Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio Live. This is your host, Jim Masters, and it's a real pleasure to have you with us today. Also, a great pleasure and a terrific pleasure to have healer and intuitive Cindy McCarley joining us from Utah. For over 24 years, Cindy has been an incredible practitioner, gifted with both healing and intuitive skills, and has been seeing and treating the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. That's right. Through her incredible soul readings, she has helped countless individuals move toward a natural state of consciousness that provides clarity, insight, possibilities, and solutions. Cindy is able to see, feel, and know our past, present, and future, and offer us guidance from our soul's point of view. Her work is deeply rooted in an integrative approach that encourages us to discover how to connect our internal guidance system to embrace our own intuition. An inner reading like no other you'll ever get, Cindy brings us messages from our higher self. Her phenomenal ability is to see our soul truly enlighten us. And Cindy can see what lifelines we have, our purpose on earth, or any illnesses lurking in our bodies. It's all revealed. Whether she's working with individuals or in groups, people are going to ask questions because Cindy's work is never scripted. Her soul speaks through her, so the responses are from her soul and not from her. She wholeheartedly and unequivocally reminds us she is an intuitive, not psychic. And while listening to her soul, Cindy sees everything. Our soul tells her our entire life story. She says, we are a soul having a human experience. We are eternal. And she reminds us that our mental, emotional, and physical health are all intertwined. And when we balance our body, our mind, yeah, and the spirit too, we can truly live the best, healthiest life possible. And, you know, what can be better than that, right? She's going to talk about that and tell us the ways that she does it in part one of an exclusive Close-Up Radio Live series that we're kicking off right now. Cindy, welcome to Close Up Radio Live. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you with us today, and I hope your day's going well.
Thank you. I'm glad to be
You're
here.
You're welcome. Oh, I know this is the first time you've ever done anything like this, too. So you're diving in head first, and I think that's awesome. So people can really get an understanding of the incredible gifts you have and the work that you do. Tell us what guided you in your own journey. Maybe there's a personal story or two you can share when you realized that you had these gifts and that this wasn't just work, if you even call it work, because I know it just is a reflection of who you are as a person. When you realized that this was something that you not only, you know, might have wanted to do, you had to do this. It's in your DNA. It's a reflection of who you are. Tell us about that.
Well, there's many instances, but the first off, when I was really small, my earliest memories are four, I always knew things before they happened about myself, about family members, when the phone would ring, whatever. And I could hear animals and earth. I can tell if a plant needed water, if it was sick, if an animal needed its teeth fixed. I've always been very connected. Animals have always followed me. I didn't know I was different until I got to be about the age of eight, and my mother would start saying things like I was crazy. How would I know those things? So I tried to not listen because my mind constantly hears everything. And so I'm aware of what a plant's thinking, an animal's thinking, water, air, every element of light I can hear. And I tried to shut it off. As I got a little older, I had my brother was murdered, and he came to me. And I'd seen other spirits as a child, but when my brother came to me, he explained things, and then I was in a terrible accident, and my brother came to me there, and he kept telling me that I could hear and that I could see, but I still didn't really listen. I knew who my children were before they were born. All of this happened very early in my life. But then I had my granddaughter, and we were at my house, and I remember it clear as day. I walked into the living room, and all of a sudden, just as if you turned on the stereo at full kilt, I heard God say to me, "Are you willing to listen and work for me now? You have refused me 3 times." And I literally hit the floor and just started crying. And I was like, I don't remember doing that. And at the same time, part of me thinking I'm crazy that I can hear like that. And that's when it started, because I realized that I had a calling and a purpose, and that's why I could feel and hear and know things. And it just started growing over the years. And as that started, it began there. And then things would happen, like when very bad things happened, like my brother passed away. It was the first beginning of an awakening. And then my father died at my daughter's wedding, and I knew about it before he did. And so I mourned that. And every time I've had a great loss, more parts of my abilities grow. I've always seen Christ, Buddha, Mother Mary, many masters. I trust in that. I just... After all these years, I go in a room, I sit down with people, and whatever comes through, as you mentioned before, comes from my soul, and there isn't anything that I can't know. There isn't any element of anything that's connected to light that I can't hear.
That's amazing. That really is a kind way of describing such a personal story, obviously, then. You realize that these gifts were there. They were evident. You call yourself an intuitive and not a psychic. Tell us about that and the differences.
Well, what I've learned, because everything I learn from guides, from masters. And I was explaining, I didn't understand. I've never, younger, I was always afraid of it because, you know, family members were afraid of me, so they're afraid of that realm. They didn't want to talk about it back then. And so for me, a psychic was a bad thing. But as I've learned and grown over all these years, I understand the difference. They're classrooms, and I call everything a classroom. And so we come here with every one of us has a theme in our lives that we're completing as a soul. Our soul group is our family, friends, extended ones that help us. We all write this life and life. We've already written the future life. We've already had the past lives. And we continue to help each other with these classrooms until we graduate them. So on a psychic level, they are like, if you take a ladder. They're up the ladder a few from those who aren't awakened at all. And they can hear things and they can know things. But they're not driven to a higher consciousness in order for them to receive the higher intelligence of all, being able to touch all that's within the universes. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
It's because it's their classroom here. It's like they're in the second grade, and they still need to get through all these classes to get here.
Right, right, exactly. That's a really amazing, it is. You regard animals and pets with high regard, don't you?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And I always know when they come back. When I was a little kid, my dad used to call me Ellie Mae because I literally would walk home from school and dogs, cats, thing would follow me home. I could stand out up on the mountain and game will come and I can see deer, raccoons. There's nothing that doesn't know that I can't hear them. Dogs from... I can't go anywhere that somebody's dog doesn't come up to me and sit at my feet. And until I tell the people what's with their dog, the dog won't leave. And so they're, to me, animals are a pure essence of light. They come to love us and help us. There's no negativity or anger with them. They have no humanness, only unconditional love. And we're all made of unconditional love. And that's our goal in this lifetime, is to learn how to perfect being able to accept all things. And that's the hardest lesson of all, is because if we understand we wrote this in every classroom we're in, and every pain, good, bad, and indifferent that we're living through was decided before, even down to our arguments, then we would understand that we're on a journey of our consciousness of love. And so accepting that this is what it is learning that. Unconditional love and acceptance of all is well at all times is very hard for us as humans to understand.
Right. It is. Yeah, it's amazing. Animals, they just really, even horses, you know, the healing qualities that they have to recognize when we're not up to par is extraordinary. You know, soul is what's important. Why, from your perspective, Cindy, would you say our soul is important? And why is it the way to learn who we genuinely are?
Well, in some cases, I always tell people that it's not by accident you're sitting before me now, because I believe that everything is written by everything I've been taught. So everything is pre-decided. Our soul's incarnate for the purpose of love. We don't come here, we don't incarnate and take a physical vessel unless we're helping someone or they're helping us. It's a continuation of love. And so our journey here is, if we can learn to listen, meditation is the greatest tool, because if we can learn, prayer is talking to God, meditation is listening. And so if we can learn a meditative state that we can relax in, you connect to the self, the soul connects to the soul connects to the self, and you can get your own information. People don't need people like us. They just need to figure out how to awaken that part of them so they can stay in touch. And people have it all the time. You call it deja vu. It's the soul leaking to the self what it already pre-decided and agreed upon. Many people will know when something's coming. They'll feel it. That's the soul warning the self. I call it your gut instinct. And so that deep down feeling you get that you just can't shake, or when you're in the world, you're upside down and you can't figure out why you're not happy. Maybe you have a good life and everything is going great, but something's missing and something's wrong. That's the soul moving the self to a new classroom. We finish classrooms to each soul. So, for instance, your life changes about every 8 years. So every 8 years, you're in a big change, an emotional change. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you write. Yes, your life, your soul writes its lessons and cycles, and so you can't not accomplish what you're supposed to, because the soul finishes that, and people will say, I'm so forgetful, I can't remember anything. You don't need to remember the past, most of it, because that's a lesson you've already done, and you've moved to the new one. And so it's constantly, the soul is driving the car constantly, and I tell people, and when the end of our time comes, it's the car just doesn't work anymore, but the soul goes on. It's an eternal thing, and it's a consciousness of unconditional love, and we continue to evolve. It's kind of like this. Say that I was your mother, and you had asked me to be abusive to you and to make you strong, make you find your way, whatever it is you needed to learn, and you chose me as a mother, and I would have agreed to that role. But maybe while I was here, my free will, I was a little harder on you than I should have been. And then when we both go home, I would be like, oh, my gosh, I was a little harder on you than I intended to be. And you'd be like, that's fine. I learned my lesson well. But then I would ask you to reverse the role, and you be my mother and have that to balance the energy of karma. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
And so that's the course of the soul. And so it continues to evolve and to incarnate in order to help those within its soul group, that it's an eternal love. That's the only way I can really explain it, is if I sit before someone, I'm going to be able to see why they were born, when they were born, why they're born underneath that sign, we have exit points in our lives, which those are times when our soul can choose to leave if the self gets too far, or things with, say, someone else don't align with what our choices are, the soul can take us home. Those are usually near-death experiences that we experience, but we don't really pass. Those are awakening moments that change the pathway of our life and put us on a different course. We see things differently. Those are written in our chart. We also have, like I said, time frames of our classrooms and what the course is that we're here. Some people come with addiction. Some people come with a strong ego. Some people come with they have no ability to have any faith in themselves. They have no self-esteem. Whatever the issue is that the soul is learning in that time frame is exactly what the personality is here. And when I do the reading, I can explain to them why you feel this way, why these people in your life, why they taught you this, and what you're learning from that and how to get past that. Also, everybody vibrates on a frequency. Every single one of our souls are unique in their design. And so every soul has an energy field that's their vibration. So a lot of people will say, I can't meditate. I've tried. I've gone to classes. I've done this and that. And I will say to them, you love the sound of the harp. Is that correct? And they'll be like, yes. And I'm like, that's your vibration. Just play that. Do the yoga breath. Sit in silence. And you'll be amazed at what you'll start to hear. Because you hear within to teach without.
Donnie, you mentioned instruments because I've always often said, and I've interviewed people who are Juilliard grad cellists, and I've always said to them, you know, for some reason I'm very musically inclined and I love music and I don't smoke, but I often say music is my cigarette, what I get out of music and the depths and just the rhythms and percussion and how my ears receive it and the way my soul receives it. And I said once, you know, if to me, of all the instruments, if you were to take the cello, for me, the cello stops traffic. When I hear the cello, the warm depth of the cello, the melancholy quality to the cello, it stops me in my tracks. And I said to that cellist, one of several, now this may sound strange, but I'm sure hopefully you'll get what I mean, but I'll throw it out there anyway. And I said to him, I said, for me, if the human heart made a sound that replicated the sound of an instrument, for me, it would be that warm, deep cello. And he said, I understand that right away. That makes total sense because the cello is the closest in sound, in pitch and everything else to the human voice. And that's why you're humanizing it, Jim, and you're giving it that very important quality that it's not just sound you're hearing, but there's so many other things wrapped into the sound because your soul is connecting to that real melancholy, deep, warm, official sound of the cello, which I thought was interesting and something that I've always felt with the cello and still feel today.
Yes, and I can explain that. That makes, yes, I totally get that. Because the heart is the biggest brain in the body. I was told that when I was very young by guides, and now medicine has proven that. The heart is its own brain, and the heart is the biggest brain we have over our conscious brain. And it speaks to all things, and so the heart is where the light sits. And so you're right. The vibration of you is that, and I saw string instruments, but that the universe is built on musical scale. When angels speak to me, I always, because I can download, I'm really good at channeling, and that's how I learn, is I sit and I speak to myself out loud, and I learn everything. And angels speak in rhythm and a musical scale, and so it's almost, it's musical for me to speak from them. And so music is the vibration of us. Everybody has a vibrational, and yours is that. And it is from your heart chakra. And it actually can give you cold chills, align you. It can make you cry. It can bring you the closest peace of anything you've ever felt on earth that you can't describe, because that's your vibration of your soul.
Very true, yes. Yeah, and even now they have realized, tapped into your gut, your stomach, and how that responds emotionally to, it's like a third brain, and how it, you know, traps emotions and how it reacts to emotions and things like that. And I had somebody say that that I am sort of stomach-centric, that my stomach would respond. I don't get migraine headaches. My stomach is what would get curled up if there's craziness going on and things of that nature, which I found interesting as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you end up with like irritable bowel syndrome. You have chronic pain and even in your lower back, because every vital organ has its own energy field. And so that's why when people have transplants and they have from someone else, they'll feel energy of that. And maybe that person had deep sorrow in one of their organs. That person will all of a sudden feel depression they never maybe felt before, because they're getting the energy of every part of that physical vessel. It's amazing to me that we can bring on illnesses, because the illness is in the body. Now, we will write things, like I told you, we will write things in order for to have moments times out. So sometimes an illness will be decided in our chart so that we have a moment. Sometimes we'll get cancers in order that we're teaching others humility. There's a lesson in everything. And so our bodies, they need to be synchronized. And so if we don't keep well or we don't deal with things, then they go to some part of our body which is sensitive to that in order for us to listen. So our body will react in areas in order for us to realize we are packing that in and we need to release that.
I think it's very true, yeah. It's the kind people, the friendly people, the good-hearted people carry the weight of the world. And
yes,
that's why sometimes they get ill quicker, they pass away quicker, they say the good die young. I've seen that actually happen with people. What a good person, what a kind-hearted person, what a doer and carer, and they end up ill, and the rest of the people that are miserable live on forever. Somehow we got to turn that around. We got to reverse that. But the people who are friendlier,
really,
kinder, and caring have to take extra steps to make sure they maintain their balance and their wellness and their health, because they're not only carrying what their world is about, they're carrying the weight of the world on them.
And the thing is to recognize that. You have to, like you said, you have to be in tune with that. But we do live out our lifespan as chosen. And so short lifetimes, like my husband lived a short life. I knew 20 years I would lose him. And he had a short life, but he did so much in that time frame and was one of the most giving, loving, I can't even say enough about him. The community couldn't say enough about him. But it was his time to go. And I didn't understand how I would agree to that. It was very hard for me to accept that.
How could you take somebody like that away, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then he came to me, never left. And when he came to me, he said, he sat down one day and explained to me, he's like, I had to leave, in, or it was agreed upon that you would grow your gift while with me. But then I needed to leave to make you expand, because I was so connected to him, I would never leave his side. So for me to travel and do groups of people, I would never have done. And after he's passed, he's pushed me to be bigger, further, help more people, because that's my job. And so there's a purpose in every single thing.
Exactly right. Yeah, there really, really is. What can clients expect from a soul reading?
Well, like I said, they'll come in and I'll explain what I do, that I see their soul, and I listen to the soul and deliver to them what they need to know. And so I'll say, I'm going to ask you, do you understand? Does that make sense? So that I can keep moving. And I just start and I'll say, this happened to you when you were at this age, and this is what you needed to learn. These people are in your life because of this. And it kind of walks them through their life, where their stuck points are, why they're going through what they're going through, the good things that they need to do, if there's health issues that are coming and what they can do to alleviate that, or what they need to do if they have it, what's going on within their family members. So if there's an issue with a parent, then I can say to them why this happened and what you need to do about that. There's really nothing that I don't know when I sit with the soul, although I hear more than I say because I'm limited to some information. An example, our priest, he came to me. We had, when my husband was sick with cancer, we had a miracle thing happened, and that's a story, but we had a thing happen here at the house, and so we had to call the priest, and it had to do with a miracle of a statue weeping. And so Father came, and he asked me why that would happen on my property. I said, I don't know. You're the priest. You tell me. What you knew that meant my husband would die, but I needed the priest to tell me. So Father came in and he asked me how that would happen. And I told him, well, I've never told you, but I have these abilities. And so I told Father about them and he made notes. And so he said to me, I still don't understand what you do. And I said, well, Father, let me explain. I can be anywhere at one time. And I said, so right now I can see your family in Africa. And I told him everything that was going on with his family at the time. And he made notes. But I also told Father, you're going to be transferred from this area and within the year. And he said, no, no, that won't happen. I've been stuck here for 10 years. I won't move. And I said, no, you'll move and you'll be happier than you've ever been. And I also saw that Father would also get cancer. But I was not allowed to tell him that. And then he was transferred. And one night I was praying for the world and humanity. And I heard, now it's time to tell Father. So I text Father and I said, Father, I need you to check your blood. And he sent to me back, "Why, Cindy, would you worry about me? I'm quite fine." And I said, "Please for me, Father." And it scared him. He went to the doctor. He had blood cancer. And he immediately comes to me and asks me when I knew that. And I told him I knew it that day, but I wasn't allowed to tell you. So there's information I'm not allowed to give until it's the time. But every single thing that needs to be known, and as a rule, when you come to me, I always tell people, say your prayers, put it out to the universe, and you won't even have to open your mouth. I'll answer everything. And so I'll answer all your questions. And then when I'm finished giving the information, I always say, now you can ask me questions. As a rule, they don't have questions, but they may want to know something about someone else. And I'm very ruled about that. There are things I feel like I can tell them, but if they want me to go into deep detail about someone else, that's someone else's personal business, and I won't do that. Also, I only do one reading a year. I don't like anybody to come back until then because their soul aligns them with their year. So they will. The soul gives them assignments of this is where what we're doing, what we need to do, and these things need to be done. And so if you come back to me, I won't remember you as a rule, but if you come back to me, I'm going to be like, wait a minute, I've already told you this, because immediately I'll know I've already said this to them. So I make them wait a year. I've never been paid for my work ever, but what we do is we have a foundation for domestic violence because of my first marriage was very violent. And so any readings I get, they make a donation to the foundation for women and children. And so I only want someone to come once a year. I never want to be paid for it. I want to always be accurate. I always respect my gift and know that it's my higher consciousness, not me. And I always sit back and enjoy the reading because I learn with them. I never know anything until they sit before me.
Which is so wonderful, right? It really is wonderful. And when you're in touch with your higher consciousness, holy cow, I mean, that's really,
yes.
That's amazing. When you realize you have it and then you're in touch with it, which you apparently mm-hmm. are, and you share. How are you, and to remind everybody, this is part one of a two-part series. Real pleasure speaking with you, Cindy. How are you
Thank
different
you.
From other soul readers? I mean, your experiences of life, you've lived so much life. I think you are, from my perspective and just having this conversation with you, I think you're very relatable. You've gone through so much life that there's so many different things that people can relate to you on, and you can relate to them, their feelings, their happiness, their joy, their sadness, their frustration, because you've experienced it in your own life. The relatability factor is so important, which allows then people to open up to you because they feel trusted, safe. There's a relatability, which is important.
Yes. Well, that's very true what you said, and that's wonderful you mentioned that. Probably wouldn't have thought to say that to you, but yes, I was born to a mother who didn't want me. She tried to abort me, and infants, even their energy is aware of that. So, and then when she brought me home, my mother beat me bad, and I was passed through the family. I was molested by my grandfather. I married an abuser. My mother was super abusive. And then I left home when I was 14, moved in with an uncle, left the state, and moved to Utah and lived with my uncle. Then I married a person that was way, way more abusive than my mother, and I was beaten every day. I had four kids with him. He ran over me. I was admitted in the hospital left and right with punctured lungs, you name it. I had many near-death experiences with him. It took me 11 years to leave him, and my oldest is the one that got me to. So when I sit with, and also when I was ran over, I was sent home in a wheelchair and told I'd probably never walk again, and I was pregnant at the time. And I taught myself to walk again, and my youngest is here, and we've gone through a lot. I've been to hell and back, but I'm not a victim. And so what I've learned is, and what my father that passed and my husband taught me, is that we agree to this, and I'm living proof of it. And so I know when I sit with someone that's been molested, I've been there, I've felt that. I know what it feels like to be someone that has handicapped. I've been in a wheelchair in public. I've been abused to where they didn't think I'd live through it. I've been through so many surgeries and pain and near-death experiences from all of that, and that's what's made me who I am. It's my job, and my job is to sit with all of those in need, and I do not judge. There's no way you can judge. A drug addict can sit with me, and I understand why they're there. They wrote that to overcome that here, and sometimes they won't attain it in this lifetime, but they need to know that there's nothing wrong with them, that they have this for a reason. And I can't say it enough, everything has a purpose. Do we want to walk it? Hell no. And that's another thing. When I do a reading, I'm raw and I'm real, and swearing comes out, and it's almost like I will say to someone, if they keep arguing with me or they won't listen and I'm trying to deliver the message because I like you to be quiet, let me do the work, and then you can speak, I will be like, I need you to shut the hell up, because it's like I just know. I remember the first time, because I was always kind of sugarcoating it, and I was always really sweet, and I got this one person one time, and he was lying to me, and I can tell when you're lying. And so I just looked at him, I said, you know what, you just need to shut up and listen and let me finish this. And he completely changed his life. And it's like their soul knows how I need to speak to make them listen.
Right. Usually I'll say, can you hold a minute and just take a breath? I haven't even finished the sentence. You asked me a question, and you've jumped in. You're talking over me, and I haven't even answered the question that you want. If you would take a breath, just let me answer the question, you'll get the answer you need, but we're going on for 10 minutes, and you're not letting me answer the question. And then if they start yelling, that's all somebody needs to do. I'm very, and maybe it's the higher intuitive and all the rest, but I'm very tonal-based, so somebody has a condescending, an arrogant, a snotty, an entitled, just a very a tone that is disparaging and discouraging, I'm tuned out. I'm like, you know, and if they start yelling, I am definitely tuned out. I'm like, my ears have shut down until you talk reasonably. And, you know, that people react to that. That's just, you know, how it is.
Do you know who to read and who not to read? I know who to read and who not to read. Like, my daughter does all of my...
There are people I can sort of read and don't even... I don't come into a room purposely reading. It happens. And I've been able to tell certain friends and others certain things that have guided them in the right direction to not get too close to that person, even if it's somebody they're working with. Don't get too close to them. Don't, tell them your entire world. And because I'm going to tell you, I don't think their track record isn't right. And there's something there about their personality and about their vibe and about the way they are speaking, the tone they're using. And they don't really care. They're not empathetic. They don't give a crap, actually. And don't buy into anything that you're – go along with it. Don't create waves. If it's somebody that you need to work with or, deal with, don't do that. Let them think you like them. Let them think everything is going to go along according to plan. But underneath, be very wary. Have one eye, three eyes open, and just make sure you don't sell the farm and sell your soul.
My daughter schedules all my appointments, and then she'll be like, okay, you have this and this and this. And I'll be like, no, I'm not reading them. And she'll be like, what? And I'm like, no, I won't. I just know I get told that I can read these people and not those, because I'm very picky about energy filled like that. And there's people that you can't reach. And some people just want to come just to either disprove you or challenge you. I don't need that. So if I know that it's like that and it's going to be someone that's just negative, I already immediately know, and I won't put them on the schedule.
Exactly right. Speaking of the schedule, our half hour is done. We actually went over a couple of minutes, but gave you a few extra minutes here because it's such a good conversation. I would love to talk with you more as we go along, but you have your part two scheduled. Have fun with the part two next week. Have a good show, and hopefully we'll chat some more down the line as well. And Yeah, and this is a good conversation, and I want people to realize this will be archived, so, and it's recorded in full, so you can hear the whole thing again fully. And if you'd like to learn more and connect with Cindy, she's available, and she's very open and very authentic. CindyMcCarley.com, CindyMcCarley.com. Com. That's a great name, Cindy McCarley. You know, I'm big with names too in terms of how I react to the sound, and it's melodic. It flows off the tongue. It automatic when you hear Cindy McCarley. There's this anticipation that the person is going to be warm and caring and friendly and nice, just even with that sound of that name. Hi, I'm Cindy McCarley. There's just a warmth, even based on the name.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's all yours.
Thank
can't
you.
Tell
That's
you the
really
amount of
sweet.
People that think, I can't tell you the amount of people that think I made up Jim Masters for television and radio. It's the real deal. Didn't make it up.
That's awesome.
Why would I change it?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. You,
yeah.
Well, it's funny. I noticed you emphasized the word masters quite a bit in the conversation, you know, learning from the masters and dealing with the masters.
Mm-hmm.
And I always pick that out when people say that because of my last name being that, which is the real name. I always say you can't go wrong when you have a masters in your life.
So true. 100%.
That's it. Cindy, yeah. You enjoy the rest of your day. Have fun with part two, which for the folks listening, part two is next week, same time. It is Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern time, 10 a.m. Central, and 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific. And you enjoy the rest of your day. Hope you enjoy the time with me as much as I have with you. It was a pleasure.
I have. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Cindy. And for not having done this before, you did a great job. You knocked it out of the park.
Oh, thank you. Thank you
so
much.
Hopefully you felt comfortable
and welcomed.
I enjoyed
it. I did. It's been great.
Thank you very much. A real pleasure. Healer and intuitive Cindy McCarley, the website, CindyMcCarley.com. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time. This time till next time. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment with another celebrated guest from around the world right here on Close Up Radio Live. Again, this entire episode is archived in full, so you can hear it again. She'll be back next week for part two, and I thank you for being with us. Have a terrific day.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.